Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Welcome. This is Wacky Wednesday here on the Arrowhead Addict channel. I'm Adam Best, here as always with the golden voice of Sterling Holmes and the birthday boy, the amazing producer Richard. Make sure to send him some warm birthday wishes. Do you know that? Do you know it was his birthday? I didn't know either, but a little birdie told me. So I have to celebrate our wonderful man behind the scenes.
Dude, Richard, I know you're not going to respond right now, but you dirty dog, you. I've stayed at your home. I know where you live, and you didn't tell me it was your birthday. Happy birthday. You're a good dude.
Great dude. So how are you feeling? We're off the schneid. Everything feels kind of back on the right track. The number one seed is within our reach, right?
Yeah.
We might be slipping out of wide receiver purgatory.
Dude, I'm thrilled. Things are great here in Kansas City. The coaching staff got their act together. They finally shrunk down the wide receiver room, barring it was because of injuries. Mahomes was a vintage Mahomes performance from him. Some of those throws looked like throws we've not seen this year. The offensive line, for the most part, is starting to get right. The defense adjusted for the first time. They've actually had to adjust all season long. And oh yeah, Harrison Butker is still perfect. Yes, still perfect. He's actually one of three kickers on pace to be one of three kickers all time to not miss a field goal or an extra point in a season. Things are good here in Chiefs Kingdom.
Knock on wood. We're not trying to jinx you. And the juju with kickers is very delicate.
Well, just like Juju's knee.
Ooh.
Sorry. Was that a shot that I shouldn't have taken? I apologize.
Yeah. I mean, we should have fond feelings of Juju.
The only shot I don't want to take is Malort, so I apologize.
Gotcha. Well, we got a jam-packed show for you guys. We'll dissect this week's opponent and then break down Wanya Morris, a rookie tackle who I think is flashing. So here to brief us on the Green Bay Packers, let's welcome in Spencer from the Poor Man's Packers podcast. Spencer, thanks for being with us.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Growing up, I was always called Spencer, so this is very weird for me. This is like all of my parents' friends. That was me. I was Spencer.
Yeah, and I was, you know, we talked a little bit beforehand, but I have a younger brother named Sterling, so the fact that you opened up and told me that, I'm like, that is just crazy. That is absurd that that happens.
My parents' friends would have zero idea who is who then. The amount of Sterling Spencers that would be getting thrown around would be asinine.
Yeah, that's wild. That's what I'm used to, because usually mom would say Spencer, Sterling, or whoever you are, just come over here. Yeah.
Well, we have a little bit more synergy because I'm married into a Packers family, a hardcore Packers family. My father-in-law is from Wisconsin, Oshkosh, actually. And I tease them about dumping MVS on us, and they get a good chuckle out of that, because he's basically right now exactly what they warned me he would be. So, yeah. Good times.
Yeah. The tricky MVS Express, we'd always say. He'd get on the bandwagon and hop off. And it seems like it's a lot more of hopping off lately for you guys.
Unfortunately, yes. Well, we have six questions for you. So let's crack open that six pack. Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love is 15th in expected points added per play over the season. But the last 3 weeks, he's fifth, top five. What's behind this sudden surge?
I really think it's just been the team around him kind of getting their stuff together. You know, because even early on when Jordan Love was struggling statistically and everything, it's like he was a problem on offense or the team in general, but he was never, you know, the top of the list. It's always the young pass catchers or the banged up offensive line. You know, the group of pass catchers that we have right now are the youngest in NFL history. On top of that, Matt LaFleur decided to bring back his entire coaching staff from the previous year. So Jason Vrabel, who this is the first group of receivers he's ever coached, his first time getting a room to coach up. He was also promoted to our pass game coordinator last year, which I don't know if you guys remember, but Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. I mean, Watson had his, he was very streaky last year, but even Sammy Watkins, a veteran, couldn't really get on the same page with Rodgers. And now the beginning of this year, it was kind of the same thing where everyone was out of sync, the banged off offensive line, they've gotten healthy. And now it seems like the receivers are finally starting to get their act together, a lot less drop passes too. I know it's like kind of dumb football talk, but it's like, yeah, we started catching the football and the offense started to play better. And that's kind of what it's been, you know.
Oh, you're talking to the right people about that then. You're here in Kansas City.
Yes, too. So I don't know. It's just everyone getting on the same page and we're actually looking like an offense again. Early on in the year, I mean, the Broncos game and the Raiders game, we thought those were going to be the get right games. And that's when we were at the lowest of lows. That's the worst I felt as a fan in like the last 10 years, because I'm like, my God, we're not winning games and I don't know if we have a quarterback. In the last 3 weeks, everyone's been a lot more optimistic.
Let's stick with Christian Watson now. He's entering his second season there in Green Bay. He had, as you mentioned, a very up and down, but overall, I'd pretty much say it was a very nice rookie season. He broke out of a slump against the Lions. Is he starting to really turn a corner here?
I don't know. He is such a frustrating player, and we've already brought up MVS a few times, but that's kind of the guy who pops up for comparisons at times. I like to think of him as like a super MVS, but he's the only guy on the roster who can bring that type of speed and stretch the field. No one else can really do that, but very slow start, and it's always just about potential with him. You know, his RAS score was almost like a 10, but coming out of NDSU, it's just very streaky where his route tree isn't very refined, but then he'll have games where all of a sudden he busts off and he looks incredible. You know, last year against the Cowboys, he had two drops before he had two touchdowns to finish that game. And even just this year, you know, I mean, we were asking for kind of less snaps for him. Even, you know, that game against the Chargers, for example, Dontavion Wicks, a rookie, had three receptions for 91 yards. He only played 24 snaps. Christian Watson had two receptions for 21 and he played twice as many snaps as him. So we like the youth we have at the receiver group, but it's kind of tough to figure out who should get what snaps here. And Christian Watson just kind of seems like that guy who, you know, that potential. It's always about that potential, but we haven't always gotten that return. Obviously, the Thursday Thanksgiving game, seeing him out there and actually high-pointing balls, it just seems like at times he hasn't, like, grown into his body yet. Like, he still isn't great at the deep balls. He, again, his route tree isn't super refined, so it's kind of a wait and see with him. I'm more excited about the rookies we have than even Romeo Doubs and Watson at this point.
Well, we were big Jaden Reed backers heading into draft season here on this show and talked about it many times.
No, don't throw me in. I was wrong. I was a Cedric Tillman guy. I'm an idiot. Come on. I'll pump my chest when I was all over CJ Stroud, but you were over Reed. So I got to give you credit their best.
But also I'm a big Christian Watson guy because his rookie season yards per route run that put him in a class with like Chris Olave, Odell Beckham, AJ Brown, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I might be missing one person, but basically everyone who has put up that yards per route run as a rookie has turned into a superstar. So I just thought, man, he's going to come back, be more technically refined, be a little stronger, know the game a little bit better after having some big time coaching because he played at a smaller school. And I'm not sure if it's injuries or just bad chemistry with a different quarterback, but it's been kind of frustrating to see him kind of regress.
Yeah, and that's why I brought up Jason Vrabel's name earlier, too. Obviously, I'm not in the coaching room or anything like that, but you just look at the amount of experience he has. And before this year, you know, his first year coaching, he had Davante Adams in the room. Well, I would like to think Davante probably taught him more than Jason taught Davante Adams, you know. And now, without that veteran presence in there, I'm not sure who's really leading that room. Like, even today in the presser, Matt LaFleur talked about Bo Melton being a good veteran guy in there. Bo Melton's an undrafted dude who's been kicked around the league for like 3 years here. And you look at who's consistently been more productive for this team. It is the rookies, Jaden Reed out of Michigan State, and then Dontavion Wicks out of Virginia, who I know their coaching situation wasn't the best last year. But compare that to Christian Watson, NDSU, and Romeo Dubs from Nevada. It's just, there's been a slower process from the second year guys from the rookies this year.
I mean, drops, inexperienced wide receiver coach. We are the Spider-Man pointing me right now. It's very similar to what we're going through in Kansas City. We've got a guy named Connor Embry, who is very inexperienced compared to some of these other coaches coaching premium positions.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Let's stick with premium positions. Let's talk about edges. I've been very impressed with Rashawn Gary. When it comes to pass rush win rate, his is 21.9%. The only people he trails, this is a fantastic list to be a part of, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa. That's it. How will he challenge the Chiefs' new tackles?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the most exotic set of pass rush moves. You know, whenever we get a replay of a sack, it's usually a bull rush. That's what he does. And after he got his contract extension like a month ago, he kind of had a bit of a lull. He wasn't getting those sacks, but it's all about that pass rush win rate, the pressures you get. And even last year before he tore his ACL, I think Crosby was the only guy who had a better pass rush win rate last year as well. So I don't, it's one of those where he just grinds. And I think he just wears away at the offensive line. And eventually he just makes actual plays on the ball. Not the best in the run game. Like any good pass rusher, it does seem like the way to slow him down is to run at him. So we'll just have to see. I think he's really benefited from a decent defensive line too. One of the things from last year, if you remember the Packers, the last four games is when the defense really came on. We had that little playoff push. Well, one of the things I think was a big benefit of that was Dean Lowry, a defensive lineman we had who left and signed with Minnesota this year. Well, once he got hurt and was on IR, our defense looked incredible. And now with a couple of young pass rushing defensive linemen we have, I think it's just opened up everyone else on the front there.
How do you think, or how will he line up, I should say, against the Chiefs tackles with Donovan Smith? You know, he's a big bodied dude at left tackle. Juwan Taylor, you know, he has very quick feet at right tackle. Any idea where you think he's going to try and take advantage of those guys?
You know, he usually lines up on the right tackles. They do move him around a little bit. I know even last week they moved him inside a bit as well, which we used to do with Za'Darius Smith. So, yeah. You know, we always complain about Joe Barry, our defensive coordinator. Again, he doesn't really come up with anything sophisticated. It's pretty much like whoever has their hand in the dirt is going to rush forward. There's nothing too exotic with this defense. So I don't, it's really just beating the man in front of you. And that's what Rashawn Gary seems to do more often than not.
Yeah. I want to talk about the offensive line. You know, obviously tackle David Bakhtiari has only played one game. He's been seemingly perpetually injured. We know how talented he is, but again, you can't be that great if you're always injured. At least that won't shine through. And then guard Elton Jenkins, as well as tackle Josh Nyman, have missed time as well. How is the offensive line overall holding up?
You know, going into the season, I think it's the one thing we thought we'd be able to hang our hat on and count on going into it. But they've been very inconsistent. Obviously, you know, bringing up David Bakhtiari, his health has been incredibly inconsistent. So he had the one game, his knee flared up, and I'm not sure if we're going to see him put on a Green Bay Packers jersey again. But with that, we've had Josh Nyman, who you mentioned as well, him and Rashid Walker, who was a 7th-round draft pick last year out of Penn State. They've been rotating lately at the left tackle position, which is kind of weird. You don't see that too much in the NFL. And then in the middle there, Josh Myers, our center, he's struggled a bit at the beginning of the year. He's starting to get his stuff together. John Runyon, the right guard, he's the one we've been asking for to get benched for Sean Ryan, the 3rd-round pick last year, who made some noise in training camp, but for whatever reason can't crack the starting lineup. And then Zach Tom, our right tackle, one of the more interesting offensive linemen in the league, kind of like Elton Jenkins, who can play just about every position. Zach Tom, Brian Gutekunst, our GM, who said this offseason, I believe, when they drafted him, they expected him to be their long-term answer at center. Well, that's the one position he hasn't played in the NFL, and he's been really, really good as an undersized right tackle. You know, he did pretty well against Hutchinson last week. The Lions didn't get a single sack on us. It was such a huge improvement from the game back at the end of September, early October, when we played him at Lambeau, when they thrashed us and had five sacks, to Thursday when we were healthy, they didn't have a single sack on Jordan Love. So there has been improvement, but we'll just have to see, you know, who, hopefully we can stop with the rotation and figure out who's actually going to be starting here on out.
I really liked Zach Tom coming out of Wake Forest. I thought he was an excellent pick who kind of flew under the radar. So, you know, I it's kind of amazing how even through all these injuries, Green Bay keeps plucking kind of good offensive line talent out of obscurity, and they just constantly reloading. I think that's very impressive. Let's move on to the running game. It's kind of banged up right now. You have both Aaron Jones, who is dealing with a knee injury, and then AJ Dillon, I think, popped up on the injury report with a groin issue. So who's going to be running the ball this Sunday?
If I had a bet right now, I still think AJ Dillon's going to play. That groin injury, he was on the injury report going into the Lions game too, so it might just be some rest before, you know, getting into the game week or this weekend. But I would watch to see the injury report on Friday. Usually if those guys are practicing then, that means they're going to play. Aaron Jones, I'd be surprised if he plays. That game against the Chargers, we thought he tore his ACL. We thought his career with the Packers was over, and apparently it was just an MCL sprain, which is crazy. So Patrick Taylor, an undrafted guy who's been with the team for the last 3 years out of Memphis, I like him. For whatever reason, the Packers don't like him so much. He only had like three carries last week to AJ Dillon. I think he had like 14, and AJ Dillon's just, he's a lot better to look at than watch play football, you know, the massive quads and everything, but he just, there's very little that's impressive about his game. I mean, the last few weeks he's improved a lot, but it's almost, he's more of a pass catching back than an actual between the tackles guy. You know, on the 4th-and-1 play, everyone saw him run into Jordan Love, and
it was hilarious. You're basically a fullback who can't run straight ahead. The body and his skill set don't seem to mesh. It really makes me laugh.
Maybe a vision thing, you think?
A lot of that is the vision thing. Even back when we played the Falcons, for instance, when Elgton Jenkins got hurt, he got hurt because AJ Dillon ran into him from behind when he had a hole just to the right of him, you know? So it's these little things like that. And, you know, there's a lot worse backs in the league. I just, you know, using a second round pick on a running back and one that's described as a unicorn because of how fast he can run and how big he is, we really wish we got a lot more out of him, especially when Aaron Jones goes down. You would have thought AJ Dillon could, you know, take a handle of the running back room, and that just hasn't happened. We also have James Robinson, the old Jaguars running back. He's on our practice squad. If Aaron Jones is out, he's probably going to get called up and suited up for Sunday, but yeah, it's not great.
Doug, I've always liked James Robinson. It makes no sense, in my opinion. He rushed for over a K as a rookie with the Jags when they weren't good. Like, and then all of a sudden they're like, nah, he's done.
I think it's the Achilles. You know, that's a tough injury to come back from still.
I know, but and part of this is really funny because a lot of the things that you're saying are so similar to Kansas City. The difference is the Chiefs have an amazing defense, a really good offensive line, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But you're talking about the young wide receivers who are very inconsistent. You don't know who really is the best of the bunch. You're talking about spending a high draft pick on a running back and getting hardly anything valuable in return. You know, Clyde, obviously, then A.J. Dillon. It just makes me laugh because there actually is a lot of similarities between some of the, I guess, I don't know, recent draft picks. But as far as some of the recent young dudes at certain positions, it is kind of interesting here.
I also believe that the two franchises that have won the most games over the past 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know the Chiefs are one, but I know the Packers are up there as well, very close to one of those top spots. So,
yeah, I do want to say, I want to hear an X factor from the Packers roster that people might be sleeping on.
You know, I've got two of them I was thinking about, and I mentioned him earlier, but Dontayvion Wicks, again, out of Virginia, we keep waiting for him to have his coming out party. And the Thanksgiving Day game, he was out with a concussion. He's been practicing this week, so he should be good to go Sunday. But the game before that was against the Chargers. Like I mentioned earlier, he had the 3 receptions for 91 yards, but he's just special. When he gets the ball in his hands, he just cuts up field, no nonsense football player. And to get him back, like I said, I'm just waiting for someone who can consistently catch the ball and get yards after the catch, which we haven't had a ton of in this offense the last few years. And he's the guy that if someone's going to bust off, I think it's going to be him. There's also Tucker Kraft, who's tight end one right now with Luke Musgrave, lacerating his kidney against the Chargers and still playing the last quarter through it. He didn't even tell the coaching staff that he was hurt until after the game. Then he had to go to the hospital. But Tucker Kraft, the third round draft pick out of South Dakota State, he had his first touchdown of his career last week against the Chargers. He had a really nice reception down the sideline where he almost scored. You know, he didn't have a ton. He wasn't super involved in the pass game against Detroit. But man, he's the other guy too, where maybe not in this game, but his potential's looking up, and there is that room with Musgrave out that he could, you know, take that step this week too.
A jackrabbit, right? He went to a school that's kind of becoming famous for producing tight ends. Dallas Goedert also went there. So
yep, and Adam Vinatieri, I believe, South Dakota State. Yeah.
They got some kickers in their blood too.
Mm-hmm.
And what about a final score prediction for us before we get you out of here?
You know, before the Lions game, I had a feeling we'd get killed by the Lions and then beat the Chiefs. Like at Lambeau, I thought, you know, sneaky, maybe we're in it because you guys have been struggling, you know, more than you have, you know, the last few years, it seems like. But then after we crushed the Lions and looking how you guys finally had a second half offense, which again, it's like the inverse thing where we've been terrible on offense in the first half and you guys have been terrible on offense in the second half. It's weird how there are these connections going on. But I think it's been three or four good games of Jordan Love, and I think we're due for a clunker. You guys obviously remember back in 2020 when he started in Kansas City. Was Spags on the hot seat back then too as your defensive coordinator, or was he sitting pretty back then?
I think Spags has always been sitting pretty. The fan base is just insane about him because, you know, I think he's, until this year, he just didn't have great talent on that defense all around.
Sure.
And he kind of made, he kind of made everyone look better. And I think it's I hear about Joe Barry all the time, given my family, but I think he deserves it a little bit more. But also, it's easier to say the defensive coordinator is the problem than say we've got five or six weak spots on the defense and have to be like honest with yourself as a fan. So I think some of that happens with Spags. But yeah, bad situation for Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers gets COVID. He has to prepare for Arrowhead, his first start ever against, you know, game planning Spags. I didn't hold that game against him. I mean, who really can?
Yeah, that was a really tough spot to be in. And it seemed like, too, obviously I don't pay attention to the Chiefs as much, but that's when Spags really started blitzing. And maybe he kept going with that sense of it, because that's what Jordan Love struggled with. That's what I think they're prepping for, expecting going into this game. So I've got a score. What did I have? I think 19-27 is what I had. Packers losing this game. But I don't know, Lambeau Field, I guess it depends if Taylor Swift's going to be there. I'm sure you guys love talking about that this year, too. But we have Simone Biles, obviously the Olympian. She is married to Jonathan Owens, our safety, so she might be there, too. We're hoping that'll get, we'll have some celebrity.
What about Lil Wayne?
Press box thing going on. Huh? Lil Wayne?
Yeah, Lil Wayne.
I don't know. Lil Wayne's fine. He pops up every couple of years, I guess. But he like led the team out of the tunnel.
Wait, is he from New Orleans?
Yes, he's from New Orleans, and I do like his story. You know, sometimes you get celebrities, you're like, you're not a real fan. But growing up, you know, the Packers with Brett Favre won their Super Bowl in 1996 in New Orleans, and he said he became a fan because his dad came home and had all this Packers Super Bowl gear, so he started wearing it, and from there on out, he was just a Packer fan, so it stuck with him ever since. And I'm like, I can respect that.
Hmm. Before I let you go here, Spencer, how many wheels of cheese do you possess in your fridge?
You know, I do have one of the little bags of like white cheddar rolls. Yeah,
what was that word? The word with a B?
Huh?
The word with a B?
Brie? Cheese? What?
The rolls? The words you said, how do you say B-A-G-S?
Don't let him do this to you.
Oh, bags? Do I say it bad?
No, I can tell you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was deer hunting 2 weeks ago too, so I'm a true Wisconsinite. No, I've
authentic.
Yeah, we've got a couple very small rolls of cheese. So don't worry, just a snack on them. Put on crackers. I'm not too crazy. More of, I don't like cold cheese. I like heated cheese, mozz sticks. You can even, I'm such a sicko. I get Parmesan cheese, heat up a frying pan and just sprinkle it on there and get those little hot cheesecakes. Oh yeah. I'm a weirdo, but I'm a Wisconsinite. What can I say?
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Spencer. It's been a blast. Good luck on Sunday. All right.
Hey, thanks. You guys too.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'm a big cheese guy myself. But I'm not really a warm cheese guy. I'm the opposite. I have a whole bunch of blocks of cheese in my fridge. Just got a new Tennessee whiskey bourbon cheese. I'm really intrigued to try it.
No fondueing for you.
I like fondue, but I don't like soft cheeses necessarily. And I don't want the cheeses thrown in a pan and then crusty. That doesn't do anything for me.
What about queso? Queso?
Queso is great. Queso is real good. I don't like crusty warm cheese. Does that make sense? You know, when they put some of the Parmesan in a pan to get the little cakes, I'm out on that. Even cheese curds, kind of out on. Maybe I'm too classy over here, but
it might be just a texture thing or a visual thing too.
I'm a big texture guy.
Okay, so
it's
a
texture guy.
Well, everyone, be sure to check out the Poor Man's Packers podcast if you want to learn more about our opponent this week. But now some business before we move on to Hot Take Kingdom.
Yeah, everyone, if you are looking to bet, to have some fun, quick reminder that Arrowhead Addicts is running a deposit match promotion up to $100 for any new Sleeper Daily Fantasy user. Make sure to use our code FANSIDED2 when signing up to receive your deposit match. Please remember to always game responsibly. Scan the QR code on screen to see if you qualify.
This week's Hot Take Kingdom, I'm excited about it because it's kind of a continuation of a little battle, friendly battle, that you and Connor have had on the Tuesday show.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Hey, let me cook. I got to get in on it too. You know,
is Matt Connor going to come out like it's WWE? Like, is he going to come walking in, just going to hear some music and?
By God, that's Matt Connor's music. No, it's just you and me. I don't have any outside interference. You know, when the ref isn't looking in Hot Take Kingdom, that's not how we roll. So this week's Hot Take Kingdom is, since Donovan Smith is struggling at left tackle, the Chiefs should start rookie Wanye Morris instead. Welcome to the kingdom. Got to get the little dance in there. The fans love it. So the Chiefs are racking up too many penalties. Would you agree with that? That the penalties are just...
Yeah, it's 24 between Jerwan Taylor and Donovan Smith. And no, that's not a hyperbole. They have 24 penalties between those two dudes.
And I kind of think, especially with the way referees are really watching not only Jerwan Taylor and Donovan Smith, and I think because of who Jerwan Taylor plays next to, Trey Smith, but Legarius Sneed, penalties could wind up being our Achilles heel down the stretch and into the playoffs. So would love to see that get cleaned up. Yeah.
Just one quick tidbit on that. I'm with you. But with Andy Reid as the head coach, there's always been a lot of penalties. This is nothing new for an Andy Reid-led team, which is kind of interesting because I know he's a player's coach and all that, but he does seem to run a pretty tight ship. You know, a lot of veterans, a lot of great coaches underneath him, obviously, as well, right? A lot of dudes have gotten opportunities elsewhere. I've always wondered, why has there always been this undisciplined mantra of penalties? The Chiefs have always had it under Andy Reid. They've been able to overcome it. This year's a little different, though, with an offense that's less explosive than it has been in the past.
I don't even think this is a conspiracy theory, but when you are the top dog and other teams are watching you or trying to get advantages on you, trying to catch up, I think it makes sense that other teams are going to complain to the refs. Hey, 38, he holds all the time. He holds our receivers. Hey, Jerwan Taylor over there, he jumps way too early. And, you know, referees hear that before every game. They're going to be watching for that stuff. So, like you said, Jerwan Taylor is the most penalized player in the league. But Donovan Smith has a long track record there, a longer track record of being heavily penalized than even Taylor. And if you look at their contracts, the Chiefs have no long-term commitment to Donovan Smith, and their financial commitment this year is basically nil. And Jerwan Taylor, I mean, they are heavily, heavily invested in him long term. They made a big, sizable bet, one that you weren't too fond of this offseason. And I think we'd agree that he has more talent and more upside than Smith, even if he hasn't been what we had hoped for so far.
Oh, agreed.
So you just cannot go away from Jawan Taylor. I don't even think that's an option. So we have to look at Donovan Smith. And I think he's been shaky. There have been moments where I'm like, I think he's coming around. He looked better for a 2-week stint, but then he always kind of crashes down. He has a 59.3 PFF pass blocking grade. And he's even worse in the run. That's 46 run blocking grade. He is 15th among tackles in ESPN's pass block win rate. But if you see when he gets beat, it's usually not pretty. And that was kind of a problem with Orlando Brown Jr. You know, untimely sacks allowed, getting beat quick, just big mistakes in key moments. We can't have that. So enter the rookie from Oklahoma, Wanye Morris. We kind of thought he was a toolsy project coming in, but I think it's fair to say he is ahead of schedule. He entered the game last week, immediately picked up 2 pancakes. I thought he looked like he belonged. Super small sample size.
Look, it's 5 snaps.
I mean, he pancaked Tyree Wilson. That was special. Our third round pick, pancaking the Raiders' 7th overall pick, who looks like a bust. I mean, yeah. you absolutely love to see it. And I'm kind of thinking, how much worse than Donovan Smith could he really be? And there's a chance he could even be better for the stretch run once he gets his feet wet. You'd also jumpstart Mahomes' future blindside protector. We know that this guy is the guy on the roster with the highest probability of being that player over the next, say, 3 years or so. So there's an argument to just go ahead and jump in there. And I know what you guys are asking. I know it's probably in your head, Stuart. I almost called you Stuart.
Dude, how dare you? At least call me Spinster.
I think it's because we had that conversation earlier.
No, it's fine. People do call me Stu. A long story. My really close friend from high school call me Stu or Stuart from basketball.
They call you Stu because you like to cook. You know, you like to cook out there in the court, right? That's right. So I know what you guys are thinking, but messing with continuity this late in the year is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. The continuity doesn't come from our tackles. It comes from our center and our guard, that interior offensive line. Also, Patrick Mahomes, this is the case every single year. He has the best pressure to sack rate in the league. Even though he invites pressure, he's, you know, the best tactical scrambler there is, probably that there has ever been. He just doesn't take sacks. So I think he can help negate any blips from a possible learning curve here. I'm into the idea. Again, this is hot take kingdom, so I'm kind of pushing the envelope. But Sterling, you've heard my case. Are you coming into the castle or staying out behind its walls?
I am staying out behind its walls. No. Yeah, I tell you, Joshua Clayton says right there, I talked to Tim Grunhard literally on Monday, and he said, don't do it. Yeah, because I brought this question. Actually, I posed it for Matt Connor, right? Matt Connor has been saying this, and I'm like, all right, let me get a NFL Chiefs Hall of Fame lineman's thought process on this. And he's like, no, you don't do it this late in the season. Continuity. And it's not saying that Wanye Morris is bad, but you don't know. You know what you have with Donovan Smith. And what you have with Donovan Smith is an 8-3 record with, quite frankly, not a ton of pressure being put on Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes knows how to operate with Donovan Smith at left tackle at this point in the season, right? Joe Tooney knows what he's going to do. The Chiefs know how to operate with Donovan there as far as, does he need help against certain players? Do we need a chip? Do we need to add a tight end over here? Do we need to have Joe Tooney go this way, shift this way to help him out? You don't know that with Wanye. So how many games is it going to take before you find out what he is, before what his strengths and his weaknesses are? You're 8-3. You're in the stretch run before you hit into the playoffs. You're trying to get the one seed. Why would you even have the opportunity to do this right now? Why would you even want to do this right now? I understand the thought process. If this is Madden, go right ahead, man. I'm all in. It's not Madden. It's real life. I like Wanye Morris. That was my favorite draft pick the Chiefs made. I said it, my favorite draft pick. I don't want to see this year. I don't think Donovan Smith's been that bad. He's not been good. He's been below average, but he's been serviceable. He's been fine. And the Chiefs have been able to win with fine. He's not been the major issue here. He's not. Why would you recognize, or why would you go against something that is working right now? Okay. Sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Lauren shakes. I appreciate that. He says it's a good question from me and a good answer from you. And that's kind of why we do this. It's a useful thought experiment, I think. You mentioned Joe Tooney. He is first in ESPN pass block win rate, and he is 10th in PFF pass blocking grade. That's among not just guards, but centers, tackles, all offensive linemen. So you mentioned that he's familiar with Donovan Smith. Well, he's such a linchpin there. He's such an anchor that I think any left tackle you stick in there is going to benefit from playing alongside him.
Sure.
And also, I get what you're saying about Donovan Smith is it's working. But you could also say the same thing about Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Like, the offense we're 8-3. He had to play some part of that.
Yeah, but hear me out now. Wide receiver's been the issue all along. It's why the Chiefs have not won more games. What about the offensive line? Have they been the reason the Chiefs have lost a game? Now, if you want to say penalties, I'll at least entertain that. I think you can make an argument to an extent. But again, even that, I don't think that was the main issue there. We knew Donovan Smith was going to have penalties. He's going to have about one a game. He's always been a heavily penalized player. He's not reverted back. It looks like last year was not just a outlier. That was the new Donovan Smith. That is who he is, which is a guy who was really good, but age and injuries have caught up to him. We thought the patchwork offensive line of the Buccaneers was potentially why he had such a steep drop off, but I also think PFF has been a little hard on him. I think he's been a little better than some of the numbers have indicated. When he gets beat, he does tend to grab, but PFF, from what I can tell, heavily penalizes the player for when they get penalties. Look at L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed's been locked down all season long, but because he has a decent amount of penalties, you won't see him anywhere near the top of any PFF rankings, which to me is bullshit, okay? Because he does it for a reason. You'll take one catch for 8 yards and one penalty for 5. Are you serious? Okay, that's 2 catches for 13 then. He had 6 straight games of 125 yards receiving. That's lockdown.
Yeah, they grade Trent McDuffie well. So I think L'Jarius Sneed is just one of these players because of he's the most physical corner in the league. So he kind of breaks their system. And I agree, it's not representative of how well he plays. But they just got that one wrong. But I do think Donovan gets quite a bit of penalties. And when he gets back, when he makes mistakes, it's pretty brutal. It's typically he loses fast, he makes mistakes in big moments. So I kind of agree with dinging him more than maybe some other players. Not so much on L'Jarius Sneed, though. Yeah. I think if you were going to do this, it would have to happen now against an inferior opponent when you still have 6 games left. But I probably agree with you that just stick with the offensive line that's working fairly well. And remember, last season, we had Andrew Wiley and Orlando Brown Jr. At this point of the season, we were all still kind of up in the air about whether they were going to make it through the playoff stretch without dooming us. And Andy Heck got them gelling at the right time. And in the Super Bowl, they played their best game they've ever played as a unit. So I think we have to trust the coaching staff once again. But after seeing just that little glimpse last week, I'm a little bit more excited about Wanya looking forward. I know let's like not get it too far out ahead of our skis, right? But
yeah, I mean, again, I've always liked Wanya, that draft pick. I'm a huge fan, so I can't wait to see him. Just hopefully we don't see him this year. I want to give a shout out to Gary. Says Sterling, we face all below 500 teams. If you're going to make this move, this is it. Again, I don't disagree. If you are going to make it against as you said, best inferior opponents, it makes more sense. I'm just out. I think there's more to it than just facing bad teams, but I get what you're saying, Gary. Appreciate that. Jason Tyler says, top 0.5% for AA pod listeners on Spotify Wrap this year. Thank you, Jason Tyler. You're the man. Jason Tyler, 0.5%. That's great right there. And then also huge shout out to a TPT Chiefs Football Podcast for the super chat here. It says, what's up, boys? I have one question and one hot take. The Chiefs will average 30 points until playoffs, and should Kelce, Pacheco, and Rice be priority on offense? Second point, I will say yes. You get the first one here, best.
Well, on the second point, I think Andy Reid should get, like, have you ever seen the movie Memento, where the guy has that crazy short-term memory and he has to tattoo stuff on himself to remember? I think Andy Reid should just tattoo on himself Kelce, Pacheco, and Rice, because that's who we have to roll through the rest of the year. No MVS, maybe a dash of Watson, no Sky, no, like, you know, let's just ride. Let's narrow our touches down. 30 points per game. That's pretty lofty. You know, the Chiefs could get out to a 24-0 start and kind of just sleepwalk through the rest of the game. So I'm going to say no. But I do think their offensive performance, and especially their second half offensive performance, will be better from here on out. They found something last week. So let's move on to our next segment, the crowd-pleasing Kansas City stock market.
Let's do it, baby.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
It's a fugazi, it's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust.
Tell me the difference between stupid and illegal, and I'll have my wife's brother arrested.
Drew Tranquil deserves more snaps than Willie Gay when Nick Bolton returns and tightens the linebacker rotation. Pump or dump?
Oh, bleep you, man. This is tough. The Chiefs really just have four incredible linebackers, and they all do things differently. Slight pump. Willie Gay Jr. has been so good. He's been so good, but I think Drew Tranquil's been a little better. Best. Honestly, in obvious passing down situations, I wouldn't mind seeing both Willie Gay and Drew on the field, right? Third and 13, third and 10. The Chiefs they have an abundance of riches at linebacker right now. It's a great problem to have. Like, you're talking about four legitimately very good linebackers, Leo Chenal being perpetually underrated now at this point, right? I mean, my goodness, you can mix and match. Keep them all fresh. I like this. I'll slightly pump, but whew, that's a good one there.
Yeah, it's a tough question. And I think the answer might actually be to slow play Nick Bolton, because he's spent quite a time off the field being injured. And you want to keep all these guys healthy. So maybe it's a luxury to make sure none of these guys are overworked heading into the playoffs, that they're all fresh and you know, late in the game. I would say, though, that I'm a slight pump as well. Willie Gay, he's like, to me, he's kind of like a Devin White player, where he's so athletic. When he flashes, he looks like the best player on the field in spurts, because he's one of the five most athletic linebackers in the league. I don't think that's a stretch. But Drew Tranquil is such an intellectual player, and he's been one of the best blitzers at any position in the league. He has a top 20 pass rush win rate. He's great in coverage. We know that. He has a bunch of sacks. I think why I like Drew Tranquil so much is his history in college at safety. I imagine Spags looks at this guy and says, here's another player, kind of like the Honey Badger, where offenses don't really know what I'm doing with him, because he's such a versatile chess piece that I can move him all around. He can kind of be, he's kind of like the reverse of, I've Men in Black'd myself on number 49. I just don't think
Dan
I'm
the same.
Yeah, I remember the name, but then I was like, I'm just not going to say it anymore.
Why? Stop that. I hate fans that just rip on Dirty Dan. I know the ending wasn't great, but he made a lot of big plays and big time.
Oh, that Houston Texans historic comeback. That was all.
Don't act like he's L.E. over here, okay? We're not playing this game.
L.E. Yeah, we need to remember these guys well. I know the ending with him and Tyron wasn't very good, but I'm a slight pump.
You can also do a little more 4-3. I know the Chiefs don't typically do a base 4-3 because I love being at a dime nickel sub packages, but let's be real now. We saw it against the Eagles. It looked pretty nice. Leo Chenal out there with Willie and Drew. Now you can throw out Nick Bolton, Willie and Drew. And if they can go up against tight ends, you know, if teams are run heavy, I don't hate it.
Here's the other thing you can do. You can occasionally have five men down on the line and use Leo as a pass rusher. You can do that too. He's big enough to kind of rush the passer as kind of a de facto stand up edge. So there are options here. He's got a tiny bit Melvin Ingram in him.
Yeah, Spags is just looking around like he just has 37 different barbecue spots just all in front of him. And he just like, yeah, I want some of that. I want some of that. Oh, yeah, baked beans from Jack Stack. Yeah, I'll take some of that. Oh, burnt ends, a beef nooner from Gage with the extra hot sauce. Yeah, let me get some of that. Oh, a Z-Man. Sure, I'm bleeping in. Oh, LC's burnt ends. Yeah, I throw some of those in. Like, he's got it all. This is Spags right now, baby. The cupboard is full. I got a fun one for you now here. All right, next one on the KC stock market pump or dump. Among wide receivers with 250-plus targets, MVS has the worst targets per route run rate in the league at 9%. It's time to bench MVS. Pump or dump?
Pumping so hard, I just dislocated my hip. I mean, I could not pump harder. I have been on MVS all season long. And actually, I got called out on the Thursday show. I won't mention any names. I think we all know who's on the Thursday show for being too hard on MVS about a month ago. But you know, I'm not always right. I was wrong about Sky Moore coming into the season. But on MVS, you know, I like to say he's the world's highest paid jogger. I don't know what he's offering out there because I know he had the good block, but he's not the only wide receiver in the world who can block downfield. I mean, he's good at it. He's got a big frame. He's unselfish, but we've said this time and time again, Justin Watson this year has been a much better version of MVS, more consistent. So why not just give all the snaps to him and then, you know, have Rice do his role, hopefully get Kadarius back. But even Sky Moore, for all his faults, he has some utility. Now, he's kind of a replacement level player, but you create these little pop gun touches for him. He gives you a tiny bit of juice. He can catch the ball and make something happen once in a while. Same with McColl. But Marquez Valdez-Scantling is a sub replacement level. He looks like an Arena League player. I'm sorry to be so harsh, but I worry about him costing this team its season.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to win some money off of these wide receiver bets, or at least some prizes here. Sky Moore over 1,000 yards. You had, it looks like you're going to be growing out a mustache at some point, and only a mustache. You're going to join the club with me. I also took under 750 yards for MVS. Matt Connor had the over, and that was some bourbon whiskey. You and I also had Karlaftis versus Minihu. I had Karlaftis. You had a Minihu on who would have more sacks this year, and you knew the suspension was coming. That's also.
I didn't know a six game suspension was coming.
Just gonna go ahead and say I got some nice prizes coming my way. It looks like.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I was also so. I kind of feel like I was right about Sky Moore because I was one of the only people coming out of the draft saying that Rashee Rice was a power slot. Everyone else was comparing him to DeAndre Hopkins. I was comparing him to guys like Chris Godwin, Brandon Ayuk, poor man CeeDee Lamb. And I was told by the Chiefs that valuable slot role that got the corpse of Juju Smith-Schuster almost 1,000 yards last year was given to Sky Moore. And apparently Rashee Rice won it over. So I was expecting whoever had that role to blossom.
Whatever makes you sleep better at night. That bourbon from you will make me sleep better at night. But I will say,
I might send you, there's a bourbon called Rider's Tears, which I think would be appropriate.
Apt.
Very apt.
I might go dump when it says to bench MVS, because my thought process is I want to see less MVS, but I don't want to see him out entirely because while I don't think he's a great wide receiver or merely even a good wide receiver, who else are you going to put in for him? Like to run that specific route tree that he runs. He has a specific role that's pretty much either him or Justin Watson. While yes, I want to see more Justin Watson than MVS, I don't want to see Justin Watson out there 100% of the time. You know, I want to see MVS and Justin Watson split that one role and split it fairly equally. Now, my thought process is, can Kadarius Toney do some of the same stuff as well? Potentially, but we've not seen him show an ability to stay healthy or play that much of, or have that much of a workload. The issue is the Chiefs have so many slot receivers, as we've mentioned time and time again, right? It's not just as simple as, oh, he's a better player, throw him out there on the outside, it'll be the same thing. It's not. It's just not. You talk to a lot of wide receivers. There are some nuances between slot and the outside that maybe the average person doesn't quite understand. So I don't think benching MVS is going to actually fix anything until you actually replace MVS. That's the real solution here.
Okay.
But yeah, Steve, I agree with Steve. MVS and Watson are redundant. I'm with you there. Like, I agree with you, Steve Cashman, the chat. That can play. They are, to me, about the very similar players.
Steve Cashman had another interesting comment here. He said, and this is hilarious to me because I was sitting here saying how Patrick and Matt threw me under the bus and how I actually was right in this one. Best has the worst takes on AA, and it's not close. Okay. Yeah. Everyone has their flavor. That's fine.
It's a great take, Steve.
Don't know what I did to piss in your Cheerios, but sorry, brother.
Did you piss in his Cheerios? You know, when people say that, I've always wondered, like, well, did you actually? Because if I woke up and there was piss in my Cheerios, first off, I'd say, why do I have Cheerios? I'm a banana bread person for breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, it would be really weird since you don't eat Cheerios.
I'm an oatmeal man.
And they brought Cheerios to your house just to piss in them. That seems like a lot of work to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too lazy.
Splashback too. The splashback from the bowl. I can't imagine that going over very well.
Yeah. Try to aim inside of one of the Cheerios. Well, we are really going off the tracks here. So we will get back to the Kansas City stock market, and defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo has been the top coach in the entire Chiefs organization this year, even over Andy Reid. Pump or dump?
Yeah, pump. I don't know how you can argue with this this year. Right? We're not talking about career, obviously, but also Spags has had an illustrious career as a defensive coordinator. But this year, yeah, he's been unreal. What, Spags could not do anything different. A top three defense in the NFL. Top three. I get there's a lot more talent than he's had in the past, but holy bleep, he's done a phenomenal job. He's using the versatility. He's using the guys he has. He's allowing, again, I think this is an effort they're doing with Jerry C to be physical. They're saying, you know, I don't care if you get a penalty or two, be physical. And it's worked. Oh, yes, this year, for sure, Spags has been the top coach in the Chiefs organization.
Yeah. Not as easy as the MVS pump, but this is a no-brainer for me. Steve Spagnuolo has been a maestro conducting this defense. Really, he just has such a knack for dialing up the right thing at the right time. I don't know that there's anybody better at knowing when to blitz and who to blitz and when to throw, you know, kind of fake people out, fake pressures and simulated pressures and all that kind of stuff. He just always seems to be one step ahead of the offense. And I think we're seeing for the first time, Steve Spagnuolo has great defensive talent across the board. He doesn't have like one position group that's a deficiency. I would say probably safety is our weakest group, but even that group I would say is probably slightly above average because you have three guys who can play. So there's really no holes in this defense. And when you give Steve Spagnuolo a defense with no holes, he doesn't wait until December or the playoffs to cook. He starts cooking in the fall. And we all know he's going to get better as the season goes on because that's what Spags does. And he's going to bring out these kind of bespoke game plans for the playoffs. And Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud, Lamar Jackson, I would watch out.
Final pump or dump. The Chiefs will run the table. They're playing at the Packers, against the Bills, at the Patriots, against the Raiders, against the Bengals, and then they finish up at the Chargers, and then they will clinch the one seed yet again. Pump or dump?
They're running the table, baby. This schedule is lined up very nicely. I actually kind of think this game might be the toughest because the Packers are really in the playoff hunt. And Lambeau this time of year is not a place you really want to play. It is frigid. The fans will be worked up into a frenzy. The Bills are kind of a shell of themselves and we get them at home. The Patriots are a laughingstock. They're done. Bill Belichick is done. The Raiders, we always have the Raiders number. Even when we spot them 14 points, we still kick their ass. The Bengals, Jake Browning. I mean, what more need I say? And then the Chargers, I think the final week of the Chargers, I mean, you want to look up lame duck in the dictionary. That's Brandon Staley. I know that Chargers ownership's not going to fire him in season. That's just not how they roll. But I think he is dead man walking. You know, he's done. So I like it. I like us getting those six games. And I think the Ravens have a tougher schedule than us. So we also benefit from that. How about you?
Yeah, I'm pumping. There's only two games that I have any sort of questions over. At the Chargers, because the Chiefs might be sitting their starters, right? That's a real possibility. If the Chiefs win the first five and the Ravens lose even one, based on tiebreaker, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Chiefs could sit. Again, that also comes down to the Jags, and they would have to lose a game as well, I guess, technically, too. But the Bills game is the only other game I have any sort of question about. The reason being is the Bills have a very difficult end to their season. I'm not denying that, but it got a little easier with Joe Burrow getting injured. Then you look at the teams above them, and you're sitting here going, you're telling me they're gonna miss it. But the Browns, who have no quarterback, the Steelers, who have no quarterback, the Colts, who have no quarterback, are all going to make it, and the Bills are not. The Broncos, like the Broncos are playing out of their mind right now. Their turnover margin is absurd. Now, I think the Broncos are actually a decent team, but they're going to have some come down to earth moment soon.
Yeah, they've recovered like 75 fumbles or something. It's ridiculous.
The Bills have been one of the more unlucky teams in the NFL all season long. A lot of the underlying numbers actually really likes the Bills, especially offensively. It all comes down to turnovers for them. All comes down to that. You know, Josh Allen typically plays well against Mahomes. He typically plays well against Kansas City. It's what he's done in the past. Now, it hasn't always worked out, especially in the playoffs. But like that 13-second game, he played really well. It wasn't his fault necessarily they lost.
No, not at all.
And so I'm sitting here going, that might be for the Bills' playoff hopes. That might be it. They're going to throw everything, every possible thing at Kansas City. But I still don't think it's going to be enough. I just don't. With what we have seen from L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie, they are more than apt to take down and cover and take care of Stephon Diggs and Big Game Dave. Gabe, sorry. Dalton Kincaid's a very solid tight end.
It doesn't matter what his name is.
Dalton Kincaid's a very solid tight end. And at that point, I think Dalton Knox will be back as well. That's the only question I have. But Stephon Diggs does not give me any cause to pause. Gabe Davis, and quite frankly, I say that's the only game I really have a question about. But I think the Chiefs take care of business.
And that defense, with all its injuries and aging, has low-key been kind of trash.
They've been bad.
You know, so they don't really scare me. The only thing that scares me about them is if the Chiefs offense has one of these nights where they're heavily penalized, they have a lot of drops, and Josh Allen just starts speaking in tongues and walking on water out there and just has an all-timer, you know, just gets on a heater. That could certainly happen, because I think he tends to be pretty good when he's backed in a corner. It certainly wasn't his fault, I didn't think, that they lost to the Eagles. He played great.
Yeah, they should have won that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they played the Eagles like that. They'll probably play us like that. So yeah, but come on, guys, we're going to be the one seed again. That's what we do. That is just what we do.
Yeah. No, I mean, it runs through Arrowhead. It's the Arrowhead Invitational. It's going to happen again.
Honestly, you know, it's not, you don't want to jinx yourself looking this far ahead, but I would say, I mean, you could make an argument that the best three teams in the league right now are in the NFC, because I know you hate this, but Dak and the Cowboys, man. I mean,
dog, I've given them credit now. I do Stack in the Box on Tuesdays with Ian McMillan. I said, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I think Dak Prescott needs more love for MVP.
Yeah. I mean, the running game's been bad. I mean, Tony Pollard hasn't been good, you know?
I'm sitting here with a pocket knife like, what are you doing? Dak Prescott.
CeeDee Lamb, offensive player of the year, maybe. Micah Parsons, defensive player of the year. Well, now that Myles Garrett is hurt, maybe that will happen. But I think, you don't want to be foolish and look ahead to like, hey, the only three teams that can beat us are San Francisco, the Eagles, and Dallas. But I would say those are the other three best teams right now in the entire league. I'm not going to put Jacksonville up there with them. Are you?
No. And again, Dallas doesn't scare me as a Chiefs fan. They scare me if they were playing, I don't know, the Giants.
Maybe the Eagles. Maybe they don't scare me from the 49ers. The 49ers curb stomp them every time they play. So I think the 49ers are the team that everyone should be the most frightened, them and us, because Mahomes is the boogeyman every time we get into the playoffs. It's just, someone said in the chat, this is the dynasty in the making. This is the golden era of being a Chiefs fan. We just got to soak it all up. With that, that's all we've got, addicts. Big props to the chat. We appreciate you guys. We love it when you agree with us. We probably love it even more when you disagree with us, because it sparks great conversation. That makes great radio. That's what we're here for. Before you roll out, do us a favor by liking this video. Consider subscribing if you're not, because you really should be. We're growing fast. We're adding a ton of content. And if you're an audio listener, either on Spotify or Apple Podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating. That always helps us reach more fans. We will be back next Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Central. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, go Chiefs.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.